The BioInsights Podcast.
Welcome to the BioInsights Podcast. I'm Lauren Coyle, an editor with BioInsights, and today's episode is called Gene Therapy is Having a Monumental Year. How can the industry keep up with supply? Joining me today is Suman Subramanian, the head of commercial operations for Catalent Cell and Gene Therapy. Suman joined Catalent in 2022, where his role integrates commercial strategy and builds partnerships across the organisation. He also leads the BU Commercial Operations Council to deliver best-in-class commercial performances. Thank you for joining me today, Suman. To kick us off, could you fill us in on the key milestones achieved in the gene therapy market in 2023 and how these advancements have impacted the therapeutic landscape?
Gene therapy is growing at a much faster pace than everybody has expected, especially post-pandemic. The last 2 years have really been a testament for that. With the number of approvals we've seen, even 2023, the approval of Livadis, as well as the Roctavian for BioMarin. I mean, two very distinct drugs which can really shape the industry. Livadis on one end, muscular dystrophies requiring a lot of product and larger patient populations, and then Roctavian with hemophilia A, also pretty significant. So I think these approvals are really kind of charting the path of what gene therapy would be taking in the future. And again, you know, all estimates are saying the market is still growing, you know, double-digit growth, still, on par to getting closer to the $30 billion mark. So truly exciting time to be in the gene therapy space at this point.
Great, thank you. And then just moving on, what supply chain strategies have proven effective in addressing accelerated timelines associated with gene therapy development?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's one of the most common questions we always get from new clients as they're approaching and coming and as they want to work with the CDMO, like what would accelerate my timeline? The biggest thing which impacts timelines in gene therapy space, because time is the essence in gene therapy, is material procurement, as well as, you know, analytical work for any gene therapy program. And materials and supply chain has even been more of a focus post-pandemic because everybody within the industry have experienced significant lead times, challenges procuring products within those lead times. So most of the CDMOs and even, you know, innovator companies have started to look at, you know, standardized materials and specifications, where although it's not a commoditized market within gene therapy, there is elements of gene therapy which can be standardized. So going towards standardized materials and material specifications are pretty important. What that does allow us to do is to enable different fulfillment strategies, like making to stock certain materials where we can stock it. So, you know, as clients come in, we maintain a certain safety stock and, you know, are able to pull materials quickly. So, you know, material equation in the whole timeline is significantly reduced, of course, reducing the overall risk of the program by itself. The other most important challenge which you would see in supply chain is the material movements within the facilities. I think, again, trying to establish more traditional methods, trying to do supermarket where you have just-in-time materials, right? Because some of the materials in gene therapy or in the bioprocessing industry, you need just-in-time. You cannot, you know, store certain materials in ambient temperature for longer than X number of hours, right? So having some of the tools in place to be able to exactly track and when you need your materials at what time is critical. And I think those are some of the things which will be, you know, proven efficient as we go and expand in the space.
Amazing. Thank you so much. So focusing on the challenges in developing reliable and scalable manufacturing processes for gene therapies, what strategies or innovations can be implemented to overcome these to ensure a robust manufacturing pipeline?
Yeah, I think like I mentioned before, I think the next most important thing is from standardization and is going to a platform process. FDA and other, you know, regulatory agencies have already indicated that they want, you know, innovators, manufacturers, CDMOs to, you know, go towards a platform process, right? Where it's easier tested and tried and driven. So, you know, everything is expected as we go. Of course, we're not there to the ultimate peak of where it needs to be, but I think we're seeing a significant interest on clients moving towards the platform process. And the reason you have to go to a platform process is you're not trying to do, you know, n number of experiments to try to achieve the end goal, where, you know, you're trying to perfect where you're going to get a 5 or 10% improvement in the overall process versus now you're trying to focus all of the energy into certain experiments. You're designing certain experiments which are predefined, right? To say, when a client comes to you with a molecule, we'll do these experiments which, based on, you know, our experience and history, have proven to be the most effective ones, right? So those are some of the elements which we tie within the platform. The other important thing is, you know, equipment, right? We don't want to create multitudes of equipment trains, which will make the whole process complicated. A predefined equipment train will enable us to tie it back to the platform and offer it. What's also important is also not tying the equipment train to a specific scale, which has been always a challenge in the industry. So we can offer, you know, multiple equipment trains with different scales. So the, it gives clients still the flexibility, which they always ask, but also remain within the confines of being at a platform process. And the last but not the least is enabling partnerships within the industry. It is always multiple partners coming together to take a product from a gene to the clinic. So you're working with some partners to do certain tests or certain analytics, which you cannot do in-house. How do you work with your partners to establish relationships so you're able to predefine your service level expectations of how much time a certain test would take as, you know, you're producing, so you can establish that upfront with your client?
Can you elaborate on the specific challenges in AAV development and manufacturing and how the industry is working to overcome them?
That's a great question. Most of the clients within this space, if you look at more than 80% of the pipeline of molecules, are a small emerging biotech. I think that is the demographic of our clients or the molecules. A lot of these are coming up from an academic or a lab setting, right? There's not a lot of data to prove how these can be scaled, although there's a lot of, you know, hypothesis and experience behind how certain viral vectors or other biopharmaceuticals behave. So it's a lot of inconsistent or limited data to prove some of the hypothesis. What that does is some of these molecules, as they come for clinical to late stage commercial manufacturing, have not really evolved, and you don't have the robustness in the process. So the GMP readiness is always a challenge with some of these. So I think those are some key critical challenges. Of course, documentation, adaptation of some of these processes to move towards some sort of automation in the future. I mean, bioprocessing, especially gene therapy, is a little bit farther from fully automated processes, but I think standardizing, getting to a platforms may enable some automation within the bioprocessing. Of course, there's always a start to everything, you know, adapting to paperless technology, e-batch records, some of those things will enable us to get closer, but those are some of the key challenges we see.
That was great, thank you. Integrated solutions from raw materials through commercial supply are crucial for gene therapy development. How can companies effectively plan early for a commercial ready process, and what role does collaboration with experienced partners play in achieving this goal?
That's an excellent question. Gene therapy is nothing but, you know, there's multiple pieces going into taking a gene to a clinic, to the clinic, from the lab to the clinic. And there's various processes involved, various materials and technologies coming together to enable that. What clients look for is an end-to-end provider who is able to say, hey, when I bring my gene or my sequence to you, how are you able to take this all the way to the hospital or to the clinic, right? That is super important. When they look for companies who are able to provide the end-to-end supply plan, or what we call here at Catalent is an integrated supply plan, where you're getting the starting material, you're planning day one to day end to when you're actually gonna deliver the product to the end point. It could be a clinical setting or an hospital. Truly looking for that partner where you're not trying to make the whole end-to-end supply chain complex. So you're dealing with one partner who is able to put these different pieces together and also take accountability of the different pieces together to bring that product to the clinic. What that does is you're dealing with a much more simpler program governance. You're not working with multiple people as well as structures, commercial models, to be able to be concerned. So provider A provides something, provider B provides something else. Now you're trying to marry up the dates, and it really de-risks your whole entire supply chain and also reduces the complexity. So what certain organizations could see as a complexity from a regulatory standpoint could be different. You're establishing a standard quality process, agreement, systems across the board for your supply chain. So as you are ready to go and file and submit your application, it is easier. You're dealing with one quality system, one quality regulatory compliance process.
Further to that, how can a partner with late phase and commercial manufacturing experience contribute to the success of gene therapy development, both in terms of solidifying processes and navigating the regulatory pathway?
This is an evolving field. The regulatory landscape is super important. In most cases, the patients we are working with are immunocompromised, have significant challenges in terms of their life and their lifestyle. So having a partner which really understands what regulatory agencies are looking for, familiarity with what this means to even expand globally, and also the experience. The facilities is a key portion of this, because I think as you go in and have agencies come in, the agencies and the regulations change. They change pretty much very periodically now. Having that experience dealing with FDA and also the international agencies and what they're looking for, what have they audited your facilities, what specificities you need to adapt to is super important. Many clients do not think about that earlier in the process, but that quickly becomes a bottleneck as they start filing and getting through their IND and move later into their clinical phases. Having that experience of the regulatory landscape, as well as experience successfully demonstrating your experience taking your molecules through the regulatory approval cycle is super important. And I think having the protocol in place with companies like Catalent, which has the experience, is super important.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And given the importance of supply chain management in delivering gene therapies to clinical trial locations, what specific needs and challenges should be considered, and how can they be effectively addressed?
That's a good question. Of course, we always have our traditional ways of managing our supply chain and also the various aspects of the supply chain. The one key thing which become more so important are your business continuity planning and actions. Dual sourcing or multi-sourcing of critical materials, which is very important. And I think it even stresses more so, not just from a commercial aspect of being more competitive from a pricing aspect, but also to able to secure your supply chain. Excipients and consumables, right? I think this is a new field. There's a lot of new excipients which are used in the process of making your product. You're making sure you're vetting the right suppliers, being able to get suppliers who have a DMF, for example, a drug master file, for example. Those are some of the things. Also securing long-term partnerships. I know coming from COVID, this is an important lesson everybody's learned. Securing partnerships and having the long-term contracts in place will at least help you enable and have the right level of discussions with your partners to ensure your service level expectations are met, your lead times are met, and also capacity of storage. Most of gene therapy products are single-use products, which take up a lot of space and go through a lot of product for processes. So enabling, you know, strategic storage capabilities within your network, outside of your network, enabling that you can move product quickly in and out. Those are some of the important strategies which we always look at, and also are looking at partners to help expand and understand how to support our patient needs and the product needs.
How is the space evolving in terms of the ability to leverage platforms, for instance, in the area of platform assay development? And what are some of the keys to capitalizing on the benefits of this offer?
I think the platform, when we talk about platform, the first thing which comes to mind for people is cost effectiveness, as well as reducing timelines, right? Because I think they think there is a plug-and-play platform and we could use this. That's absolutely right. I mean, every time you use a platform, you're minimizing a redundancy in what you would develop in terms of, say, analytical methods, documents associated with that. So what it does is, in certain cases, it's pretty much a plug and play where you are basically able to save a significant amount of time, significant amount of rework, which in turn has cost benefits, which gets passed on to the clients, which also reduces risks of time lengths, right? Because you have, the reason it's a platform is you have demonstrated being able to execute a specific process, a specific platform, multiple times within the course of a few years. So trying to reduce that shortening the timeline overall is important. And on the analytics side, having platform assays basically means you are adapting your client's gene of interest or your client's needs into your platform. So it's a matter of not redeveloping a whole assay, which increases the timelines by several weeks to months, to now you are able to do some suitability and are able to understand if your platform is suitable within, you know, weeks after you start working and engaging the clients. And also a big part of this is reports, summaries of how your assays have worked, how your platform has performed. Having some of those predefined and templated also helps shorten the cycle as well as the work. So it reduces the overall timeline and of course, the cost associated with that.
That's great. Thank you. And right first time is a key aspect of the Catalent approach. Can you pick out some specific areas where this is particularly important?
That's great. I mean, right first time is a concept which is not new. It's always existed in the industry. It is, of course, evolved in various spheres of this industry within the life sciences. Now it's becoming more and more, as you're talking about platform, you're talking about standard process, people expect you to get things right the first time. Speed is the essence to the market, so getting it right the first time is very important because you're going to lose the race of getting your drug to the market. The most important complexity which comes to mind is tech transferring a process, whether it's tech transferring a process from within your facilities, if you are developing a process, or tech transferring a process from the clients, that is going to be critical. And doing it and having a protocol, which helps you kind of have different stage gates to make decisions, as well as identify risks within the process. If you are able to execute an efficient tech transfer protocol, that significantly reduces the risk and increases your chance of getting it right the first time, according to me. And also having effective KPIs and metrics to measure through the manufacturing process. Again, most of the manufacturing processes, especially whether it's platform or non-platform, can be predefined. And you can define the success criteria of what you would expect. Having that schedule, as well as the right people and talent established at the right steps of the process, and being able to measure it accordingly to see how it's performing, having regular stage gates, checkpoints, and communications enable your chances of success and getting it right first time. That is a number one emphasis because it does impact Catalent and CDMOs in general, as well as the client, because now you are, if you get it wrong the first time, now you're losing a slot in the schedule, which was meant for another program or another batch, etc. So it is a ripple effect.
Finally, the focus on simplification of the manufacturing process includes minimising unnecessary tweaks and reducing the number of supplier nodes. Can you discuss some of the examples of successful simplification strategies in gene therapy manufacturing and how they have positively impacted efficiency and reliability?
I mean, simplification always leads to more predictability. More predictability leads to less waste in the overall process, which is a significant improvement in cost of goods. Cost of goods is by far the single most important thing as people look to scale programs, especially when you're dealing with a lot of rare diseases and processes which do not yield several thousands of vials in terms of making your batch. Having simplification, you know, all throughout the different phases of the program is super important. And I think that is the focus, right? We always take advantage of having a large continuous improvement teams to always look to see where we can simplify a process, avoid waste, cut redundancies to be able to have that significant measurable impact on cost of goods. The other important aspect is as we do this, we also look to see what are the areas where you're getting significant number of deviations in the process, and also effectively, you know, applying and enforcing CAPAs to do corrective and preventative and maintenance as well of the facility, which is also important because you know this is a specific area. There is going to be a lot of deviations based on historically where we see or a process initiated where we think based on this process we are going to run in the plant, we expect there's going to be more deviation in this specific area. How do we come up with a plan to boost up the team, have the right talent in place to be able to reduce that, which in fact will reduce the overall timeline? Because we do know in the processing space, it's not manufacturing. It's your ability to manufacture it right and able to release your product to the patients, right? So manufacturing is one aspect, then having effective documentation, less deviations to be actually able to release the product or disposition the product is important. So reducing the deviations and also having operators trained within your organization to be able to understand the nuances as well as, you know, reduce the delays and risks because you need trained operators who are experienced with some of these complex operational aspects. Predictable costs and lower contingencies. I mean, I think we talked a lot about, you know, platform process, having understand what the waste is in the process. All of this leads to, you know, predictable costs. Like, you know, you're estimating a specific cost for a program. How do you keep this within the confines of your process? I think some of those with some of the tools we use here, be it ERP tools or planning tools, right? How do we predict to keep those costs to a minimal, which will also help us lower the contingencies so the client doesn't have to bear the costs and foot the costs at the end, where some of these could be avoided much ahead in the process.
Thank you, Saman, for such an insightful discussion, and thank you to our listeners for tuning in. This podcast was brought to you in partnership with Catalent. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe to the BioInsights podcast.